Morning. This morning we're going to talk about new beginnings. Who's ever had a new beginning in their life, right? We've all had a new beginning. And it won't be the last new beginning in your life either. We'll all have more new beginnings in some way, some form. And so I pray this morning that you can get something out of this message today. And I'm sure you will. But I want to start with a story. So there was a pastor, and he had this kitten, and he loved this kitten. He had just got it. Well, like kittens and small children do, they do things that they're not supposed to, and then they can't figure out what to do afterwards, right? Well, the kitten had decided to climb up into a tree, and so after he got up into the tree, up in his backyard, it was then afraid to come down. And so the pastor thought of all the different ways he could try to lure the cat down. He coaxed it down. He offered it some warm milk. He called to it. He even got some catnip and tried to lure it, right? And he tried all these different things, but the kitten would just not come down from the tree, okay? Now, the tree was not quite big enough to support a human person, so he couldn't climb up the tree and physically get it down. And so the pastor decided that if he was able to somehow get a rope and attach it to the top of the tree and then proceed to tie the other end to the back of his pickup truck, he could slowly drive the truck and pull the tree down enough, bend it down enough, so he could reach the cat and help it, right? And so that's what he did. So somehow, on the tree he's unable to climb, he was able to secure a rope to the top of it. I'm not sure how he did that, but he was able to secure a rope to the top of the tree, and he got it tied to his car, and he slowly started to drive away from the tree, watching very carefully, right? Okay. And while he had a little bit further to go to bend the tree to successfully reach the cat, he knew he needed to go just a little bit further, okay? So he kept going, and just as he was about to stop, he heard a snap, okay? Well, the rope had broke, and of course, when the rope broke, the tree flopped back up. And when the tree flopped back up, it catapulted the cat off the tree into the sky, right? And it was out of his sight. Like any normal person, he felt bad about the situation. And so he decided to walk the streets, asking his neighbors if they'd seen the cat, asking everybody. And everyone said they had not seen the cat, but if they did, they would let him know if they found him. And so at that point, he just stopped and prayed. And he said, "Lord, I commit this kitten to your safekeeping," okay? And he went about his business. Well, the story continues that a few days later, he was at the grocery store, and the pastor ran into one of his church members. And while they were talking, he happened to look down in their cart and was surprised to see that she was purchasing some cat food and a bunch of cat-related things. And the reason this surprised him so much was because this woman absolutely hated cats. And she made people know that every time cats came up in a conversation that she did not like cats. So he was surprised that she had all this cat stuff. So, curiously, the pastor asked her this. He said, "Why are you buying stuff for a cat when you hate them so much?" Well, she replied with this. She said, "Pastor, you will not believe this." And she began to tell him about how her little girl had been asking for a cat, right? And her answer would be no. And this went on for over a week, and she kept asking and asking, and her daughter would not stop asking for the cat. And finally, out of frustration, the mom told her daughter this. She said, "If God gives you a cat, then and only then will I let you keep it." And then she went on to say this. She said, "I watched my daughter go out in the backyard, get on her hands and knees, and asked God for a cat. Pastor, you would not believe it. I saw it with my own eyes. As my daughter was praying, suddenly a kitten came flying in the air, paws out, right, in the clear blue sky, and landed in front of my daughter. And so that is why I'm getting all this cat stuff. You like that, Wendell? So this story has a common theme throughout it, okay? It's facing life with new beginnings. You've got the pastor who's starting a life of a new beginning without a cat, correct? Then you have the mom having to overcome her prejudice of cats. You have the little girl starting a new beginning with the cat, right? And then you have the kitten itself starting a new beginning in a new home with new people, right? Okay? So just as this story, so too are some of us may one day find ourselves in a junction in our lives or have found ourselves in junctions in our lives at one point or another, right? William Wendell, maybe it's finishing a grade and you're going to be going into a new grade. That's a new beginning. Did you know that? At school, going to a new school is a new beginning. Starting a new job, right? Getting a new grandkid, right? All of these are different new beginnings. Eddie, you just had a new beginning with a new truck, right? And it already hurt you, you said. We all have new beginnings in our life, okay? In our text this morning, we're going to look at how Paul found himself in a similar situation in his life, and he's talking to the church of Ephesus here. And he was soon going to leave for another direction in his ministry. However, just before he departs, he calls to the elders of the church at Ephesus and addresses them. So this morning, we're going to learn about change, okay? And not just change, we're going to learn about new beginnings and how we can better ourselves when we find ourselves at a new beginning. So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write down this first point, is that we have to be faithful, okay? So God, he calls us to be faithful, and he shows us this in our scripture that we're going to read this morning. And we're going to look at 3 points. Each main point has 3 subpoints, so I may say that a couple times. But so if you're with me, if you want to turn to Acts chapter 20, and we're going to be in verse 17. That's where we're going to be. So if you want to go there, please turn there if you haven't already. So God calls us to be faithful. And the first subpoint is that the people of God, they must serve the Lord. Okay? Now get this. It always pays to serve the Lord. Amen? It does. It may not always seem to pay off here, but in eternity, everyone who loves and serves the Lord will spend forever glad that they did. And everyone who did not love and serve the Lord will spend eternity wishing that they had. Okay? So let's look at our scripture this morning. Acts 20, verse 17. That's where I'm going to start. So it says, from Miletus, he sent a message to Ephesus, telling the elders of the church to come to him. When they arrived, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I set foot in the province of Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with the trials that happened to me because of the plots of the Jews. You know that I did not hold back from proclaiming to you anything that would be helpful, and from teaching you publicly and from house to house. So our purpose, it has to be to faithfully serve the Lord. That's what it comes down to. We have to faithfully serve the Lord. You see, with new beginnings, it's easy to let go of making... It's easy to let go of making serving the Lord a priority, okay, or a must in our life. There's a lot of things happening, right? with new beginnings. Some things are going to fall to the wayside. We have to be certain that this is not one of them. Okay? When you get discouraged and are tempted to wonder if it really pays to serve the Lord, remind yourself that when we get home, not when you get home from church, when we get to our heavenly home, you'll know it was worth it, right? Second, the people of God must present the gospel, okay? Verse 21 tells us to testify to both Jews and Greeks and about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? 1 Corinthians 9:16 says this, For if I preach the gospel, I have no reason for boasting, because I am compelled to do this. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, right? And lastly, John Wesley once said, give me 100 men who love nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, and I will shake the whole world for Christ. Okay? It doesn't take many, okay? But it does take someone who decides to be faithful, right? Just like last week, the road is narrow. There aren't going to be many going in that right direction. But it does take some to go in that right direction. A few years ago, every year we do a spring break retreat somewhere, and it's usually in conjunction with the conference during March. And we decided to do a mission trip one year, a few years ago. And I made these really shirts. I was trying to find a picture, but I couldn't find it. And I believe it said something like, many are called, but few will go. And it had a bunch of little people, and there were some that were in bright red. The rest were black. It doesn't take everybody to do it. It just takes some to do it. And we need to be those some, okay? We need to be those some. You see, our aim needs to be to present the gospel of Christ to everyone, right? Present it in a way that it's almost seen through the way you live your life. I mean, that's the easiest way to do it, is just by living your life right, doing what God's called you to do. It doesn't take you to say a word. It just takes you to live right. Thirdly, the people of God must finish the course. Okay? Picking up in verse 24, it says this, but I do not consider my life worth anything to myself, so that I may finish my task and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace, and now I know that none of you among whom I went around proclaiming the kingdom will see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of you all, for I did not hold back from announcing to you the whole purpose of God. With any new beginning, it's going to come to an end at some point, okay? It's going to come to an end. Whatever you begin, make sure you end it well. 2 Timothy 4:7 says this, I have completed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Right? Finish well. If you finish well, you set yourself up for that next new beginning to what? To begin well. Okay? It's a stepping stone, correct? So point one was being faithful. Point two is, second, we have to have faithfulness. Okay? We need to have faithfulness in what God brings us into. And we're going to look at three more points. So the people of God, through faithfulness, must be on guard. Okay? Verse 28 says this. It says, watch out for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. I know that after I am gone, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among your own group, men will arise, teaching perversions of the truth to draw the disciples away after them. We have to be careful, right? Someone shared about a painting they saw in a museum, an art museum one time. And they said this. They said, I saw a painting and it caught me off guard. It was beautiful. It was a normal painting. There was snow-covered mountains in the back, okay? There was a very beautiful pond right underneath the mountains. And you could see the reflection of the clouds in the pond, okay? But there wasn't just the pond. There was also a herd of sheep. The details just pulled me into the painting, they said. They said they just stared at the sheep. But as they were looking, something didn't look right with the sheep. And then it was then when they saw two eyes and a snout that didn't belong to a sheep. Of course, it was a wolf, right? They said they could see it plainly now, even with the sheep skin pulled over its entire body. The wolf was in the herd of sheep, and it was traveling with them. Okay? The enemy is going to do everything it can to make itself look like it's not the enemy, correct? It's going to blend in. And with new beginnings, often there's new people, new places, new things. It's a new beginning for a reason. There's a lot of new with it, right? We have to be on guard with those new beginnings. We need to be on guard with new things. Our purpose is to watch out for ourselves, okay? Because we don't have all the context. It's new to us, okay? Second, the people of God must be alert, okay? Picking up in verse 31, it says this. It says, therefore, be alert, remembering that night and day, for 3 years, I did not stop warning each one of you with tears. And now I entrust you to God and to the message of his grace. This message is to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You see, the more faithfully we listen to the voice within us, the Holy Spirit, right? The better we will hear what is sounding outside, what wrong things are sounding outside, okay? Be alert to what others are saying. Be alert to what they're teaching, okay? We have to be alert. Our aim is to be aware of what God's word teaches in order to build ourselves up and to separate us from the world, right? It all comes down to this. We have to know the word. We have to be in the word, okay? We need to be reading the word, examining everything we hear through scripture, right? Thirdly, the people of God must remember God's love, okay? Picking up in verse 33, it says this. It says, I have desired no one's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine provided for my needs and the needs of those who were with me. By all these things, I have shown you that by working in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says this. It says, we have come to know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us. Thus we ought to lay down our lives for our fellow Christians, church. He continues by saying, but whoever has the world's possessions and sees his fellow Christian in need and shuts off his compassion against him, how can the love of God reside in such a person? Little children, let us not love the word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. You see, God's love, it's never ending, right? He's always there for us. And he calls us to do the same. We need to show that same love to others in the same way, right? God brings people into your life for a reason. God puts you in specific situations for a reason. I believe that 100%. God may call you to go eat at Arby's after church for a reason. Maybe you're going to run into somebody. Maybe not. Things happen for a reason. There's opportunity in every area that we want to find it, right? My last point this morning, main point, is we have to live faithfully, okay? So as we faithfully serve the Lord through his power or his spirit, you know what? The devil's hosts will begin to attack us with all their might. They don't want to see us have a successful new beginning in Christ and living this new beginning through God's word. So as a result, we may be called upon to suffer for Christ. It may happen. There's a story about a missionary. His name was Russell Ebersole. And he was encouraged by his beloved Bible teacher, William Pettingill. And after Ebersole told him of the disappointments and trials he had faced on the foreign field, Pettingill exclaimed this. He said this. He said, "Brother, that means you're on the right track. If you never experience any opposition or setbacks in the Lord's work, you ought to get down on your knees and ask him to show you what you're doing wrong." The enemy wants to stop what's happening, what good is happening. He wants to stop. We may have difficulties, church, but God promises are greater, okay? And remember, you will be tested, you will be tried, especially in a new beginning where things are kind of new and it's not stable. That foundation has not been laid. That strong support you have has not been set yet. That's when the enemy is going to want to attack, right? So there's three things we can learn about being more faithfully, living more faithfully. And the first one is the people of God must pray. Okay? We must pray. Acts 20:36 says this, if you want to continue on. It says, when he had said these things, he knelt down with them and all prayed. We have to be a people of prayer, right? You see, prayer is powerful. And we should use it every chance we get. Correct? There's a story about a mom who invited some people to dinner. And as they were getting ready to start, she looked at her little daughter and asked her if she wanted to pray for the meal. And the daughter looked at her mom and said, "Oh, mom, I wouldn't know what to say." And so the mom encouraged her by saying, "Just say what I would say." And so the daughter bowed her head and she said this. She said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" Don't be like that, although God wants us to be real like that in our prayer. But we have to pray. Prayer is powerful. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, tell your request to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Right? We have to use what's at our... We have to use what we are able to use. And prayer is one of those strongest things we have. Pray the scriptures. Speak the scriptures in your prayer. Our purpose needs to be for us to look and to call upon God in prayer. Second, the people of God, they must remember, right? Verse 37 says, They all began to weep loudly and hugged Paul and kissed him. Church, don't forget where God has brought you from. Okay? Don't forget where he's brought you from. Life is full of opportunities and changes, and each one is built upon the last. We can't forget the past. We have to build upon it. We have to learn from it, correct? Reflect on what has been done in the name of Christ in your life. Seek to continue on with the paths that will now come to you. Okay? It builds upon each other. Each new beginning builds upon a good ending, correct? And lastly, this morning, the people of God must begin anew. Verse 38 says this, especially saddened by what he had said, that they were not going to see him again, then they accompanied him to the ship. They're helping Paul begin his anew, sending him off, taking him to the ship, right? Romans 8, 27 through 31 says this, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saints according to God's will. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us, right? Ultimately, what it comes down to with any new beginning is that we do whatever the Lord is asking us to do, right? We go wherever the Lord is asking us to go. And we do, and we go whenever the Lord is asking us to go. So not wherever, but whenever. Is he calling you now? Is he calling you in a month, a week, a year? Okay? All these new beginnings that you will have in life, which I'm sure you out there have had many, they all have a purpose. And as I close, Mel, and if you want to start coming up, I'm not sure if you picked up on this. You probably did. You all are a bright group. So each of my points this morning had one main thing in common. Anybody want to guess what that was? Huh? New beginning. Yes. But with in conjunction to a new beginning, it was faith. Okay? All three points had faith in it. Correct? New beginnings require faith. It's scary. It's new. That's where faith comes in, right? I was just telling Dan yesterday, faith is something I struggle with, right? Some people have more faith than others, and that's okay. But Luke 17, 5 through 6 says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Just takes a little. You see, faith as a mustard seed is like when it's raining enough outside and you're driving, it's raining just enough for your windshield wipers to only wipe once a minute versus to be automatic. You're trusting in it that it will wipe in time, right? Or if you're like me, I wipe until I can't see, and then I wipe it myself because I feel like, oh, I can still see. I don't need to wipe. But our faith is what matters. And when we find ourselves in a new beginning, we have to make it our purpose. We have to make it our aim, our goal to serve the Lord in this new beginning. Right? We have to serve the Lord in the new beginning. I invite you to stand this morning. As we close with a song, Mel's going to lead us, so...